W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, my colleague and mentor, and we go to Western Europe because the problems of democracy are evident in the streets of Western Europe. Most recently, 100,000 or more people in the city of London behind a sign that read "Remigration." The next day, the Prime Minister, Mr. Starmer, defied logic by denouncing remigration marchers as plastic patriots. At the same time, we have results from the German elections in North Rhine-Westphalia, that's the most populous state of Germany, showing tripling of votes for the AfD. At the same time, we have the French government in turmoil and the people of France in turmoil because of the fall of yet another prime minister, yet another governor, a prime minister, and yet another government. And Mr. Macron will not step down and will remain in office despite his weakness until his term is finished. I mentioned three things that all have this in common. They're driven by populism, as we call it in the U.S. In Europe, they have different names for it. It is nationalist. It is certainly keen on protecting what it regards as its culture. And in Germany, in the East, it is extremely hostile to migrants, especially those who arrived after the Syrian conflagration of a decade ago. In France, it is extremely hostile to migrants and shoves them off the shoreline across to the English Channel as fast as possible. In Britain, hostile is inadequate. And yet, Gregory, I come to you with a problem that the European Union cannot solve, and neither can the United States easily, although the Trump administration is attempting to solve. The great global migration underway, it's always been there, but it's especially notable now because of social media. Let's focus just on Britain. Let's not take all three of them at once. Mr. Starmer is not responding to the people who elected him. And the people who elected him listened to him say, we're going to solve the migrant problem the way the Tories did not. He has not attempted it. He is not working on it. As far as I can see, the immigrant hotels are full, and there's no attempt to intercept those small boats that have come across the English Channel right now. They're coming across right now. So is this the will of the people being defied, or is this Mr. Starmer's leadership? How do you see it?
I see it as both the will of the people being defied and Starmer himself fulfilling his Trotskyist ambitions. I mean, he's been a Trotskyist since his early youth, follower of various forms of Trotskyism. So he's really does want to see Britain broken from its previous identity. So this is very much in line with what he wants. His words before the election were clearly meant to gain votes and not meant to be taken seriously, but this is nothing new. And although the state media, the main media, including the state media, the BBC, for example, keep talking about 100 or 110,000 people at that rally. The rally, which was it was called Unite the Kingdom. It wasn't just about migration. It was about a whole raft of corruption problems, migration problems, and many other things. And if that rally, if you look at the crowds, so with aerial surveillance, and you look at normal crowd measurement metrics, that crowd was closer to or above 1 million people, unprecedented in size ever in the United Kingdom. That was staggering. And yet the government keeps trying to play it down by saying, oh, well, maybe there were 100,000 people and so on. That's clearly defies logic when you see all of the composite aerial photographs of all of these major arteries of London clogged with thousands and thousands of people. So, again, it was a diverse one. It was about unite the nation, unite the kingdom. So it was very pro-British identity in that sense. It was about migration. It was about the actions being taken against farmers. It was about a whole raft of things. And it was interesting, as we see with a number of these events around the world, that there's a degree of contagion between them. A week before, we'd seen the block everything movement coinciding with the collapse of the French government, literally, again, blocking all of the highways. And there they take traditionally French means of protest. They build barricades and they burn things. And they did a lot of that in Paris in the past week with large, extremely large crowds there as well. So France is no closer to solving its problem. The new prime minister perhaps is slightly more pro-centrist and pro-Macron than the previous one, Monsieur Bayrou. So the new prime minister is a former defense minister and intelligent, capable, and young and dynamic. So we're going to see them attempting to get the budget through in France, which was the problem there, which was it to include cuts of some $54 billion in state programs in order to bring the budget back in line. And of course, that was naturally going to be resisted in France because it meant a reduction in benefits. But you see a contagion between all of these things. We saw in the London and to a degree in the French protests, which are still underway, and elsewhere around the world, in big, massive protests in Australia as well, the death of Charlie Kirk in the United States, a political activist of some note. He was raised, his image was raised, and his voice was, his name was chanted in all of these demonstrations as well. So there was this degree of momentum, a contagion of momentum against the incumbent governments. And again, this is becoming widespread. We see this also coincided with protests by the Hungarians and the Poles and others against the European Union, essentially ending the viability of the leadership of the European Union by Ursula von der Leyen, the former German defense minister, who was a failed defense minister. She's now looking for an exit from her post as head of the European Union or European Commission, and she's looking for a job in another international agency so that she can continue her lifestyle. But the reality is that the whole of the European Union is now in trouble. The government of Sir Keir Starmer in Britain is most definitely in trouble, and he could be toppled by an internal Labour Party coup, or the King, if he senses that unrest is getting out of hand, could ask the Prime Minister to resign or to form a government of national unity to end the crisis in Britain. That would be unprecedented, well, unprecedented for the last couple of hundred years in the United Kingdom, for the King to prorogue Parliament, in other words, to suspend Parliament and basically either call for new elections or call for a change. But it could happen, and the King is obviously contemplating that. And we'll discuss that, about how he will talk with President Trump tonight or tomorrow.
I mentioned that we spoke of these matters last week, and what happened after you mentioned proroguing is it got worse, Gregory, which tells me it's going to get worse now. We didn't have a million people in the streets, and Tommy Robinson, who's it's a nom de guerre, speaking openly to the media. You don't need the BBC camera. You have cameras everywhere now and around the world. And you mentioned, since you spoke of this last week, we had the Kirk incident. We have the vote in Germany, which is a shock to Friedrich Merz. We have the vote. Yep. We have the French government falling again. And Nepal, we should mention Nepal because then there were riots in Jakarta while Indonesia was attending that parade in Beijing. In fact, about the only place I could find around the world that wasn't protesting were the central command, central governments. How do you put them?
The autocrats.
The autocrats did not have demos. The reason I come up with this list is that suggests to me the water's going to continue to slosh around, Gregory. It's not going to calm down until there are answers.
Yes. And I think what we're seeing now in this contagion, and there's definitely a sense of encouragement given from one protest to another across national boundaries. We see it in the Nepal situation, a huge input from young people who are now concerned about freedom of speech. They're looking at freedom of speech in a different way than the older generation is. They're looking at the curtailment of social media, for example, as a curtailment of freedom of speech, which it is. But the reality is that it's the social media which also causes the mass contagion and the mass psychosis across state boundaries around the world. So you do get people motivated and conditioned by this new media source. But of course, what the Nepalese tried to do was to follow the Chinese model, which was to suppress the social media so that they could contain dissent. That backfired on them. It's backfiring in the UK. I mean, you saw in the crowds, if you started going into the crowds, a lot of the people who were stirring things up and were getting a lot of recognition were people who were made famous by the social media, vloggists and bloggists and the like, who were getting great recognition. So the governments are not proving sufficiently competent in dealing with that at this stage. They're not aware of the cross contamination of these things. Although, so the big march in London these past couple of days was viewed by the US media as rallies in support of Charlie Kirk from the United States, which was absolutely not the case. Charlie Kirk did come up as a momentary rallying voice in the London protests and in the Australian protests. But these are things which are taking a bit from each other all across the board, most particularly in the sense of anger which is now being felt by younger people who are giving the energy to the contained anger of the older population. But in Britain, the older population is getting now absolutely outspoken, regardless of the fact that the Starmer government is using bans on freedom of speech to imprison people. In fact, it's now a worse crime than physical violence.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. There may be a way out of this. I don't see it easily, but we're going to turn to the King Charles Report because the King has authority in Britain that no comparable office has in the United States. That's mother country. We just don't happen to have a royal.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,